a keys to greater authority. Keys to greater authority. I'd like to begin with a scripture. Just want to launch off in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, and it's a well-known story, if I can find it. There we go. And I'm reading from verse 5. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. That when Jesus had entered Capernaum, centurion came to him asking for help. Centurion was a Roman soldier. Even though we understand that a Roman soldier had 100 men under him, I'm surprised to read that he never had 100 men under him. They have no idea why they called them centurions. They normally had 60 to 80 men under them, but they were responsible for the training of those men, for the welfare of those men. The reading from verse 6. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering. Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go. And he goes, and to that one, come. And he comes. I say to my servant, do this. And he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished. Said to those following him, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. It is a remarkable story. So, as a soldier, he knew two things. He knew that power comes from authority. And he knew that to have authority, we have to be under authority. So that's what he's actually saying to the Lord Jesus. He had authority over the soldiers because he was under authority of the commander who was over him. So to have Rome's authority, he had to be under Rome's authority. Alright, so let's move on. Power and authority. What's the difference? Power is the might to do something. Authority is the right to do it. You understand the difference? One is the might or the strength. The other is the authority. We have over the years, many times actually, over the years had police come to our door, most recent only a couple of weeks back. And I must admit I have been a little bit naughty from time to time, because when police have come to our door, never to arrest me or anything. But for all kinds of different reasons. And as I've walked them down to the car, I've noticed that Venetian, I never realized how many people had blinds in our immediate neighborhood, because I can see that they'd push them to one side. And one time I was really, really naughty, because my daughter had purchased a car from a car dealer, and the car dealer had deregistered the car. And so he sold her an unregistered car, which is illegal. And police had asked me to go down to that particular car yard down in the Maruka Mile and demand that the car be registered. Anyway, it was a long drawn out thing. So when I came back, police had come round and said, what did they say? And then said, we'll take you up to the police station and we'll fill out the statement. So as I'm walking down to the car, I've got my hands in the air. and the sergeant said, what are you doing? And I said, having fun. All right. Even the other day when police came around, I was just looking at these two guys. Now, their might was there. Is it still a Glock? Do they still have Glock pistols? Because the Glocks would go off often without the trigger being pulled. That's why I'm not sure whether they changed them. But the Glock pistol, the taser that they carry, you know, the actual strength of the policeman, that's his might. That is right, his authority is his uniform. And see, God wants us to respect authority. And so when I see someone in, like, a police uniform, It's the uniform that I'm respecting. It's the authority. It's not the fact that he's carrying a revolver, not the fact that he's got a taser or any other such thing. That's his might. That is right is his authority. You understand the difference? So, like, one is power, one is authority. And the centurion recognized, because of the miracles, this was the power being demonstrated, that he knew that power comes from authority. And he also knew, as we said, that to have authority, you have to be under authority. That's what he's saying to Jesus. That's why he's saying, Jesus, you don't even have to come. You just have to say the word. Because you are just demonstrating amazing power. Anyway, we're jumping ahead of what we're going to say. So, the centurion is saying, I have authority. When I give an order, soldiers under me obey. Jesus, when you give an order, even sicknesses obey you. And that's taking it to a whole different area. So he was saying, he was recognizing about Jesus. He's saying, Jesus, you have extraordinary authority. I mean, sicknesses obey you. That's extraordinary authority. And then he's kind of thinking, well, I have authority because I'm under authority. You have extraordinary authority, which means the second thing, you must be under extraordinary authority. You must be under incredible authority. Because you have such extraordinary authority, you've just got to say the word. You don't even have to come. You don't have to lay hands on my servant. You just have to say the word, and my servant will be healed. So, how can we bring these principles back to ourselves? Christ is King of God's kingdom now. It is not just something that will happen up ahead. It is happening now. Let me read to you, and I have read it very frequently, from Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. It is a vision that we understand was immediately after Christ ascended. That is, he had gone to the cross, he'd been resurrected, and when he ascended to his Father, he came into heaven, and this is how heaven described it. Daniel 7, 13 and 14. In my vision, so Daniel is seeing this in vision, at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days. So he's coming on the clouds of heaven into the presence of the Heavenly Father. So this is coming on the clouds of heaven into heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days, the Heavenly Father, was led into his presence. But then it said of this Son of Man, he was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. So we understand that when the Lord Jesus ascended to his Father, his glory that he knew before he became a human being was restored to him. And he was declared to be the king over God's kingdom. From that time on, before that time, the Father, in that sense, had ruled the kingdom of God. And with the Lord Jesus' ascension and coming into heaven on the clouds of heaven, the rulership of the kingdom of God was given over from the Father to the Son. So the Son is the ruler of God's kingdom from that time. And we read in 1 Corinthians 15, there will come a time after Christ's return when the rulership will be handed back to the Heavenly Father. All right, but we're jumping ahead there. All right, so our first principle is just that principle that Christ is now ruling the kingdom. Now, our second one is this. We have been taken out of Satan's kingdom and brought into God's kingdom. So when you and I were born again, this is what happened, Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So the moment you are born again of God's Spirit, the moment you put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you were transferred, you were picked up, as it were, by the Spirit of God out of the kingdom of darkness, and you were brought into Christ's kingdom, the kingdom of life, into the kingdom of God. So you were transferred from one domain to a new domain. Though the devil may come back and say, you know, I still have power, I still have authority, I still have whatever. You come back to the Scripture and said, no longer. Because I've been transferred from your kingdom to Christ's kingdom. The kingdom of God. So, coming back to my earlier principles, to have authority, we have to be under authority. And as a Christian, I'm now under Christ's authority in His kingdom. So it follows I have access to Christ's authority. I'm now under His authority, so I have access to His authority. In the same way that the Lord Jesus would say, I'm under the Father's authority, so the miracles, the works of power, the great manifestations of the power of God were happening because I'm under His authority. He is doing the work through me. Now we can say, I'm under Christ. Christ is in me, so now I can take the authority of Christ, and the authority of Christ, there can follow amazingly powerful things, which is where we're going with this message. So I have access to Christ's authority. Now the second earlier principle, power comes from authority. It was actually the first principle, I'm just doing it round the other way. So power comes from authority. So it means that as a Christian, number four, I can exercise Christ's power because I'm under Christ's authority. I can exercise His power because I'm under His authority. Now, there will always be Christians out there who say, no, as a Christian, you know, you don't have authority, you don't have, you know, we just hang on until Jesus comes back. Well, you know, that frustrates me. I remember talking with a Baptist minister down in Newcastle one time, and I said to him, I said, how do you handle the whole situation when you pray if you honestly believe that the day of miracles is completely gone? Ron just smiled, and Ron said, well, personally, I've parted company with the Baptist Church on that understanding. I'm sorry, David, if I say anything wrong here, but now, actually, this man became the Newcastle Ministers Fellowship leader for many, many years. But he said to me, he said, I have prayed for the sick and many, many times seen the sick healed. He said, I just don't talk about it at the Baptist ministers meeting because it's just difficult, creates problems, because most of those men at that time, this is going back a little while, at that time did not believe there was authority or power anymore for this kind of miracles. So that man recently went to be with the Lord. He's an extraordinary man. Wonderful, prayerful man. So, let me come back to Scripture. Jesus is sending out the 12. I mean, Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. When Jesus had called the 12 together, He gave them power and authority to drive out all demons, to cure diseases, and He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now it sounded like He was not just saying, no, I've got it all, you just see it through to the end. You know, you just hang on and hide in caves and whatever until I come back. Now He was saying, I'm giving you power and authority. I'm actually giving it. Now this is to the 12. And then I come back to, in the book of Revelation, to the various churches that are addressed, of the seven churches. And let me just take one of them, the church in Thyatira. In Revelation chapter 2, 26, 27, to the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. Over the nations. What? Over the nations. That one will rule them with an iron scepter, will dash them to pieces like pottery. It's quoting from the Old Testament. Just as I have received authority from my Father. So there are realms of authority given to believers. And it's not just hiding in a cave, waiting and hoping that Jesus comes back soon. Mind you, there are many times I have hoped that He would come back very soon. Usually because I was facing something I didn't want to do. Now, how many of you would say, and I'm watching, I am exercising all the authority that Christ has given me right now. Now, I don't mean right now at 22 minutes to 11 or whatever. I mean in my daily life. I see a manifestation of everything that I want to see. I don't see a single hand going up. Even last night, I was just up visiting someone in the hospital, and of course, man, you know, it used to be men in one ward, women in another, now they're all everywhere, and oh, I thought, dear God, please let me die at home. But anyway, I'm in this situation and with this, with the person, and I'm thinking, I really want to pray for them, but everything's so loud, and they've got this country music station playing really loud. Wendy, does that go through the whole building, or? All right, well, and the worst thing was, I came out, I'm going to ruin this really good spiritual story. I came out with this silly song, Gonna Have a Beer with Duncan. And I'm thinking, get out of my head. Slim Dusty, how did you? And this song was just playing. I'm thinking, oh. So, even with all the country, and there's so 98 point something or other country music station, just really loud, really loud. So I said, I'm going to pray. And I thought, do I pray really quietly or medium volume? And I thought, I'll do it medium volume and just see whether the demon of country music leaves or something. Yeah. It didn't. But I just prayed, and I just prayed in Jesus Christ's name. Now, did that person jump out of bed? Well, no, they didn't. At that stage, they couldn't even walk. But they didn't jump out of bed. But I tell you, I want to see more than I see. And I don't want it to just be like, you know, we may have stories. Well, I remember back when I saw someone get out of a wheelchair. I've seen people get out of a wheelchair, not when I pray, but I've seen in this church when we're in another venue, so a man get out of a wheelchair and push the wheelchair around, interviewed on Brisbane Radio in the following week and all that sort of thing. I've seen that, but I want to personally exercise a greater realm of authority in Christ. I want it to be, oh, yeah, it's going to be a good meeting, Jeff's here. It's going to be a great meeting. Christ is in me. Christ is in me. And I'm under His authority. So because I'm under His authority, I exercise His authority. He does the healing through me. He does the healing through me. So, why don't we exercise all the authority that is available to us? And there are all kinds of reasons. And let me just touch on some. There can be a lack of knowledge that we simply don't realize there's authority that is ours in Christ. There can be a lack of desire. Well, man, I don't know if I really want to get involved in all that. And there's all kinds of reasons for that. From sin up one end right through to the other. Just, I don't want to get involved. There can be a lack of faith, and it goes on and on and on. But what I want to come to is really this whole thing. We don't seem to be moving down one. Can you just take me down one slide? To the top one. Thank you so much. So how can I grow in authority? So there are just five points, and I realize they're a little bit generic, but first of all, I have to align myself with God's purposes. I have to find out what He's doing and do what He's doing instead of just going ahead and doing something else. So what is He doing? So I come back to when Jesus began His ministry, and in Luke chapter 4, I'm reading from verse 16, He went to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. On the Sabbath day, He went into the synagogue. As was His custom, He stood up and read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to Him. Unrolling it, He found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That's what God's doing. And Jesus saw it so clearly that it was the one of the servant passages from Isaiah 4, one of the four, in the four basic passages, this would be the role of the servant. He was the servant, and this is what he would be doing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, set the oppressed free, to proclaim this is the year of the Lord. That's what he says. He's saying this is what I am here in this next period of time, three and a half years, what his earthly ministry would look like. So if I'm going to align myself with God's purposes, this is what I'm aligning myself with. One who is saying freedom for the prisoner, sight for the blind. I realize it's not all physical, that would be spiritual sight for the spiritual blind as well as physical. But I don't want to get away that he came to set the oppressed free. Second thing, I have to know the authority that Christ has given me. You have to know the authority that Christ has given you. And up ahead we'll talk about this a lot more. But let me come back to the scripture I read out a little bit earlier. When Jesus sent out the 12, it said when he had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons, to cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He gave them power and authority to heal the sick. You may say, well, I've tried, I've prayed and nothing happened. Well, how many have you prayed for? Well, so, well, I might have prayed for 8, 9 people. And I know I tell the same stories over and over, and that's why I'm retiring soon, because I haven't got a whole bunch of new ones yet. But I remember a long, long time back hearing when John Wimber, who had an amazing healing ministry, and he would have meetings night after night after night, and that night, for hundreds of people that came forward and John Wimber prayed for them, not a single one apparently was healed. Not a single one. Not a single one. And then his, who now has a remarkable healing ministry in America. His name will not come to me. But his 2IC sat down with him after and said, John, how do you feel? He said, oh, I feel wonderful. I feel really good. He's saying, oh, do you? But no one got healed. No one got healed. John Wimber, big smile through that beard, you know, just smiled at him and said, how many got healed last night? Not the night, that night that it just happened. Last night. And the other guy said, 400 or 500 people? What about the night before that? Probably the same number. What's the average number of people getting healed? Well, it's probably around 400 or 500. So, John Wimber said, do I heal them? And the other guy said, well, no, of course not. God does. Yeah. Not you, it's God. Yeah. He said, well, God's healed, and we're under John Wimber's ministry, hundreds of thousands of people were healed. I mean, just phenomenal. And so he said, if God healed them, and then tonight he doesn't, he said, I'm looking forward to tomorrow night. Because tomorrow night, we'll probably see 400 or 500 healed again. He said, he's the healer. I'm not the healer. And I remember listening to messages by his 2IC. I'll find it this afternoon. Messages by him where he has people come to him saying, look, I've prayed for so many people and I haven't seen people healed. And he said, just keep on going. Because somewhere in there you're going to break through. And it doesn't mean everyone will be healed. But if you don't pray, how many will be healed if you don't pray? None. So if you do pray, there's at least a likelihood you'll see some healed somewhere. I'm thinking back to in the early days when we would go back to someone's home after a Sunday night meeting down in Newcastle prior to coming up here. And we would pray and sing and just have just wonderful, wonderful times. And at different times it was the excitement of praying. And we hardly ever even asked people whether they were healed. Which is rather funny. It was so exciting to all get in there and pray. And back in those days, it wasn't one or two quietly praying. It was like a herd of elephants just running in and praying for someone. And it would be like a massage more than a dainty laying on of hands. And if you were getting prayed for, if you had neck pain before, by the end of it, it was gone, I tell you. Because they'd push you this way and push you that way, push you some other way. Remember when I was being baptized in the, praying to be baptized in the Spirit, and they're saying, God, they're yelling, screaming, send the fire, send the fire, send the fire. And others are saying, send the rain, send the rain. And in my natural mind, I'm thinking, either the rain is going to put out the fire, or fire is going to be steam. And I'm thinking all this, and then thinking, brain, stop it. It was just wording they were using. But they would yell and yell and yell. And we're very quiet now. We don't want to upset anyone. But how many people get baptized in the Spirit these days compared to back then? I don't know. I think it might be time to upset. But I'm just reckoning one of these meetings. Just in the home praying for someone. And I think we'd prayed for one or two brothers, and there'd been a measure of healing. Then we prayed for the brother. He had these really thick glasses. I mean, they were massively thick. The lenses on them made his eyes look really big. And he took the glasses off, and he covered one eye, and we prayed, and then he opened the eye, and he could name us going round. And he said that eye was so weak, he said, I could not do that previously. And so we got quite excited. So he said, oh, cover the eye, cover that eye, and we pray for the other eye. And so we prayed very loudly. Don't know what the neighbors thought, but very loudly praying. And then he opened the eye, and he named each one of us in the room. And then he was really excited. We thought, well, you know, just the second eye got better. And he said, I was born blind in this eye. He said, I've never seen out of that eye, ever. Oh, now that was exciting. See, but just keep praying. Keep praying. Keep taking the authority which is ours. What are we up to? Know the authority Christ has given you. Third one, be inspired by reading about men and women that God gave authority to. Read about them. And I mean, I know these days people would say, look up YouTube. No, read about them. Oh, please. Please. Don't ever lose the ability to read, which is being largely lost to a younger generation. Libraries that have no books in them whatsoever. Oh, I find that sad. School libraries with no books in them. Oh, but there have been so many stories that I've read, and perhaps a starting one is the God's General series. I think there are now six or seven in that series, but this was the first one. Just talked about the great healing evangelists of the 20th century, just five or six men and women that God used greatly. And then I've got all but the last one or two, I think the Christian Martyrs one. I don't know whether I want to read the Christian Martyrs one. Anyway, just these books were an inspiration to me. Began to just make me desire to see God do amazing things. Now, number four, pray for increase in Christ's authority. Pray, oh God, I pray almost every day, God, when I lay hands on the sick, increase my authority, God, over sickness, disease, pain, infirmity, over mental illness, over every demonic power, over infirming spirits. Those seven things I pray almost every single day. Just I'm wanting to see the increase in authority. And then, I think the last one I had down, obey God's specific personal direction for your life. And as I'm reading about these great men and women of God, there were times of great testing for them. Great testing. I mean, the only story that's in my mind right now is Oral Roberts, at the very height of his healing ministry, and an intense, T-E-N-T-S, not intense, they'd be in a gigantic, like a massive circus tent where they fitted so many people, a few thousand people. He'd pray for people one by one. And there was one time, and that had remarkable healings up to that time. And then he was out the back, and he hadn't come out. And they had sung, and they'd sung, and they're saying, where's Oral Roberts? You know, he's out the back. Hasn't come out. Go and get him. Come on, we're finished. But he said no. He said, I don't have clarity. I don't have it yet. God won't let me go yet. And I don't know how long it was into the meeting. And I tell you, do you know that no matter how good a chorus is, you can oversing it? And because I've been in meetings where a speaker turned up an hour late. And we just sang till the speaker got there. And I think it would have been better to have had a cup of tea or coffee or something, really. We just oversang it. By the time the speaker got there, we were just exhausted from singing. But when Oral Roberts, he just felt a release in God. And he came out, and people were ill at ease, they were restless, they were thinking, what's going on? Some people had left, and they said that night the power of God was like it had never ever been. And do you know, there are great testings for us if we come to God and say, God, I want to be a vessel, that when I pray for the sick, I want to see the sick healed. There'll be people who misunderstand you, there'll be criticism, there will be all kinds of stuff. And it is part of what it means to move in to a greater realm of authority. So I'm just encouraging you that there is more than what you're experiencing right now. There's more for all of us than what we're experiencing right now. We are in Christ's kingdom. We are under His authority. So now we're just saying, I'm under Your authority. You live in me. Even as Christ said, Father, do Your works in me and through me. We say, Lord Jesus, Lord Christ, do Your works in me, do them through me. And when I lay hands, let it be You doing it. And when I take the name and the authority of Jesus Christ's name, I believe to see amazing things happen. God's good. And He's going to increase our authority that will show forth in our power. Now, Father, we do come to You. We want to elevate the name of Your Son. We want to elevate Your Son. We don't want, Father, strange fire. We don't want to move outside of what Christ wants us to do. But there's so much more. There's a far greater realm of power and authority than we now know. I just look to You, O God. Open our eyes, open our heart, open our spirit, that we would not only receive, we would see spiritually, we would move in realms of power and authority. Captives are there to be set free. And with sensitivity, but with boldness, and finding the balance between the two, Father, I just pray, help us and help this be a house of healing. God, in this building, that You would set captives free. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Musicians, would you...